Because it's very much taken from the words we're about to hear. You just proclaimed some of them yourself. This is the third Sunday in Advent, as you heard earlier. And today we're looking at Luke's account of the story of glory, Luke chapter 2. I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles there. We'll look at verses 8 through 20. These verses come right after Luke records the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. Maybe you've heard that story before. You might say, now what? What happens next? Well, here we see the angels appear to some shepherds. We'll hear more about that. And there's this news from heaven and praise to God in the highest glory. And so earlier we heard children also leading us with the hark of a herald that was an angel singing or saying glory to the newborn king. So why all of this noise, this cry of glory? Maybe you have an answer for that already, and maybe you've already heard this part of the story too that Luke's telling. It is a familiar passage. I hope you've heard it before. Maybe even heard some explanation on this before. But we don't want to miss the fact that what we're about to hear are words that are inspired. They are words from heaven. Even about the prospect of peace on earth, true peace. It's a lot to cover, and we'll do so somewhat briskly. But listen closely to these words of Christmas, picking up in verse 8 of Luke chapter 2. Hear the word of the Lord. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for your word of promise, and for these words of divine fulfillment that we have in front of us today. We would pray that by your Spirit we truly would rejoice with your angels in this news of a child born to save. I pray for this grace in Jesus' name. Amen. During our first Christmas season together as Grace Church, meeting in a Grange Hall, 1997, I was thinking to myself, all right, let's do the Christmas story. Maybe the one that everyone has heard, probably. Maybe some have memorized because they've seen it in a cartoon, or maybe because they were in Vacation Bible School and they learned a Christmas theme. And here's the one, you just heard it. It's all this action. You got angels and shepherds and Mary and Joseph and a baby in a manger. And somewhere around that time when I was getting ready for this, I talked to Irv and Nan Fink. Some of you may remember them, members from a while ago. And they were asked by me to give an account or what their recollections were at the end of the Second World War, because they were there. Back Irv was in the war. And they'd held on to a newspaper that I made a copy of, so I'll show it to you. I don't often give visual aids, but this one you can see. This is August 15th, 1945. Peace, exclamation mark. Victory, exclamation mark. Washington. Japan surrendered unconditionally tonight, bringing peace to the world after the bloodiest conflict mankind has known. Peace victory. Exclamation mark. And if you were there, and some of you were alive then, and maybe you remember such a scene where you got the little 12-year-old with his newspaper boy hat out in the street shouting something like, extra, extra, read all about it. Read all about what? Peace, victory. The war's over. Extra. Read it. Victory's ours. Peace has come, and people are excited about that. Because when war ends and peace appears to be present, that's something to get excited about, with exclamation marks. Extra, extra, resoundings. And this morning's passage is similar in some ways that I'd like to feature. Only the message will be a little different. It will be about peace and victory. The messenger that gets featured right away is not a jubilant little paper boy, but the heavenly host. The host of heaven, angels. An army, if you will, proclaiming peace. We look at heralds. We hear the heralds. We hark the herald. This glorious news of extra, extra joy. And we want to repeat the sounding joy as we sang last week in Joy to the World. That's part of where we're heading here with a proclamation, not just from a pulpit, but maybe from your own will, your own delights. But look at this account that you've heard before, perhaps. I'll feature 3 points, if you will. We'll look at the joy of registering the good news. We'll look at the relaying of that good news and the relishing of that good news as heralded from heaven. Registering, relaying, relishing. 3 points. Resounding extras. And the first point is to register the good news. This will be the longest point. You might wonder if we're going to get to a second and third point, because this is heavily featured in the headline this morning. So we will ask, register the good news? What does that even mean? Well, to register would, in this case, mean that you're going to take it in. You're going to contemplate. You're going to grab a hold of it by faith, so that you mean the other part where you find yourself wanting to relay it and relish it further. You receive the message. You make sure that it is sunk into your own heart and mind. Because the matter of the fact here is the good news has to register in you before any of this other stuff will make sense. What is the good news that must register? What is the good news that is heralded even on this night to these shepherds? For starters, we'll look at the picture painted in these words beginning in verse 8. You see there an introduction of a people and a place. They're situated not too far from where the baby was born. Verse 8, see it there? And in the same region, so this is Bethlehem, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. It's possible that in your own registering thoughts of shepherds, you have a romantic picture, a very calm scene, fellows with white robes moving along quiet waters all the time, loving on their little sheep. Let me give you a taste of what kind of thing most of the commentators had to say about these guys. This is a quote. As a class, shepherds had a bad reputation. The nature of their calling kept them from observing the ceremonial law, which meant so much to the religious people. More regrettable was their unfortunate habit of confusing mine with thine as they moved about the country. In other words, they were often known as thieves. And finally, they were considered unreliable and were not allowed to give testimony in the law courts. End quote. Yeah, shepherds then were more scoundrels. Does that fit the picture? They are a particular class of unpopular people, and it is to these very people that the Lord God Almighty is choosing to herald for the first time the birth of his Son in that place. What makes this specific group of shepherds maybe even more intriguing, not just because they may have been ne'er-do-wells, but these shepherds were those, evidently, who tended their flocks in a field near Bethlehem. Why is that a deal? Well, back then, you remember, there's the practice in the temple to sacrifice to God even daily a what? An unblemished lamb. And just to make sure the supply of perfect offerings was always full, you know what the temple authorities did? They actually had their own private sheep flocks. And do you know where these sacrificial lambs were pastured? Near Bethlehem. Is that a coincidence? Is anything a coincidence? Or could it be that even at his birth, God was telling us that his Son would one day be the final sacrificial lamb? Luke doesn't say that here. It's very striking that the first group of people to receive the good news of the Good Shepherd at his birth was this outcast group of shepherds near the town of Bethlehem, which, as you know, is also the town, the city of David. No coincidence there. Hometown, birthplace, where Messiah would show up. We even heard that in the Advent reading this morning. That was always the plan. Oh, little town of Bethlehem. That information still needs to register in your head and your heart. Then take a moment to catch your breath, to catch your brain, to let it sink in, let it process a little bit more, even if you've heard it before. Because here comes an angel, very specifically verse 9, an angel who is somehow manifesting, we see it there, this in some visible way, the glory of the Lord. And because this sight would have been totally stunning, the angel speaks these words of assurance, or maybe reassurance. See it there, verse 10? Fear not, because remember they were afraid. Fear not. You might think, why not? And listen to what this angel heralds to these awestruck shepherds, verses 10 and 11. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news, which, by the way, is the noun form for where we get the word gospel. I bring you gospel, good news of great joy that will be for all the people. And what is good specifically in verse 11 here? For unto you, see it, is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This is headline news. This is an extra extra. This is, maybe in our own modern day parlance, this would be breaking news. Breaking forth out in this field. Read all about it. Let it register in your hearts, your minds. Here's the message of verse 11. Bursting into the scene, the world, God's people, so much, so long aching to hear this news. Savior's born? He's here? He's here? Among us, with us, Emmanuel? And so if you're one of these shepherds here, when an angel of God, literally blazing with God's glory, he's breaking the silence of the night, declaring to you that God himself has some good news for you. I've got great joy. You need to listen. Hark. Hark the heralding angel. You listen. You receive. You register the meaning of the message. And the message is good. And if you take a moment to examine the words of verse 11 there, allow them to sink in a little bit further, you might find yourself well-equipped not only to have a song of preparation, but also the song of response will ring true when you hear the hark and you let out your praise. Look at the announcement again. The baby getting announced here is said to be, look at me, verse 11, Savior, Christ, and the Lord. That needs to register. Those are key titles. We take them for granted, I dare say. Savior, Christ, Lord. When we put them all together, this is real good news. Savior. The baby is said to be Savior. And again, for those of you who like to keep track of these kinds of things, did you know that this is one of only two places in all of the Gospels where Jesus is referred to as Savior? Really? Only twice? Yeah, in the Gospels. And that might and probably should lead you to ask, well, what is a Savior? Do I need one of those? Well, a Savior is someone who saves you from something. That implies that you've got a problem. There's something from which you need to get saved. What is that something? I need rescue? I need to get delivered from something? I'm doing pretty well. Delivered from what? And for starters, as we've been seeing throughout the Christmas season, you could say, also in Word and Sacrament, we keep seeing it as well. You need to get saved from your sins. And not just the sins, the concept of sin, but the guilt of your sin, very personally. The offense, the disobedience you have against a holy God. You need a Savior from the wrath of God. Remember earlier, the part in the Revelation about the sulfur and such? You need a Savior. Oh, and look, one's come to this world. That needs to register. Sink in, and by faith, you grab a hold of that in your heart, in your mind, your life. The Savior's come. Merry Christmas. And the child is not only Savior, he is also Christ. We go over this pretty frequently. It shows up in the Catechism. Christ in Greek, it's anointed one. Christos in Hebrew, Messiah. Anointed one. Maybe you've heard those terms before. And here's the child getting heralded as the one of whom the prophet spoke, of whom the psalmist sang. Heralded here, Savior and Christ, anointed in this role, a Savior who is Christ, both and. The baby is Savior and Christ. And this is a short version, if that wasn't enough to ping good news and have you sing good news, look at this. This, verse 11, the child is also specifically designated as Christ the Lord. The Lord, meaning what? Meaning he's God. He's Yahweh. The baby that you're hearing about is the same one who spoke to Moses in the burning bush. Yahweh. What's his name? It's I am. Remember, even from what our call to worship earlier in the liturgy, that, yeah, I am the offspring of David. Yahweh is with you. You need to let that register. God himself with us. And realize that this child could hardly get described more highly than this right here. Three titles tightly wound together in this extra, extra news. And it's on the night of his birth. Today, the angel says, in the city of David, the promised Messiah of God is born to you. He's here right now. So what? So go see him. In fact, just to make sure that you do find him and see him, let me give you a sign. People like a sign from God. Here's a sign. You'll find him in a manger wrapped in swaddling cloths. That's the one to look for. Now go. Go find him. Now, I know we've spent a decent amount of time this morning talking about how important it is for the good news to register. But don't you see, if it doesn't register in the first place, there's really no good reason to get excited about anything else. You need to get this one buttoned up. You need to know the Savior who is Christ the Lord. This isn't just for shepherds. This is for you. It's for me. You want peace on earth? You want peace in your life? You need to have this register. And they run off and they look and they find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths. And you need to see him as well. And here he is in the Word. You make haste to bring him laud, the babe, the son of Mary, as another Christmas song says. In fact, not only like a Christmas song, but also like verses 13 and 14. See it there? There's an official message. It ends in verse 12. Suddenly, verse 13, and suddenly, see it? There was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, you've sung this, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Or Gloria in excelsis Deo. That's what that is. So this is a brief hymn or some sort of shouting amongst the angels, because it doesn't say they sang it. They're exclaiming, they're shouting, they're heralding these things, verse 13. Praising the majesty, the glorious one. He reigns in the highest heavens, and yet what's happening here? The God of heaven is speaking and dwelling with the humans on earth. Now, I realize what I may be up against is, you know this. And sometimes in our glee, which is fine. By the way, I hope you know this. This is the first time you've ever heard this story. Welcome to it. If it's the 9,000th time you've heard it, welcome back. Proclaiming peace on earth. Peace to men. Now, is it to all men? It doesn't say that. Verse 14, peace to men on whom his favor rests. Or even more literally, peace among men of his good pleasure, translated here, with whom he is pleased. In other words, the angels are not declaring goodwill to all men indiscriminately. This is a particular, practically personalized kind of peace. The favor being talked about here is precisely the favor that God has, and for whatever reason, is pleased to give to anyone. The emphasis is not on the humans. It's on the Holy One, what he does, and on whom he is pleased to show his favor. This is grace. So get this, the song of praise here in verse 14 is about God and it's about what pleases him. And if it pleases him to favor some of us sinners here on earth, then hallelujah. And we let that register and we repeat the sounding joy even in worship. Good news to know that our God offers his peace. And specifically the kind of peace that angels are proclaiming here is a peace that describes the fullness of God's blessing. Maybe you've heard shalom. It's a deep, full-orbed reality for the people of God. Literally, God's Messiah is the only one that can bring this to the world. The Christ, the Savior, the Lord. You know that, right? The humans don't produce the peace. It might show up in papers. Someone might say, I'm bringing you peace today. Yeah, what do you mean? Is it the lasting peace? Is it the peace that makes me right with God, that makes me righteous in God's sight? Is it the kind that lasts forever into eternity? Is it a heavenly peace? Or is it a temporary peace? Somewhat in the setting here, you've heard this before, these words would have been delivered to the shepherds in the midst of the famous Pax Romana. This would have been the Roman peace. So they have a contrast, a comp. And, well, things are, you know, in the world, as far as world history goes, things are kind of peaceful right now. Rome's, you know, they're doing their thing, and Caesar Augustus is being august, and things are, you know, pretty good. We got roads and here come the heavenly host, the army of angels, and they're announcing a different kind of peace. This is a very profound peace. It's a peace marked not by external factors that go away. This is the lasting peace that God gives. It goes to the human soul, and it stays there. It stays there. It shapes you. It's the kind of peace that all of us need to have with the Creator. If I were to borrow from another Christmas tune, it is the peace that comes when God and sinners are reconciled. We heard about that some last week with Paul in Colossians. A reconciliation. This sin-torn relationship that you have with God is healed because he restores you to himself and gives you peace. That is what you hearken to what the herald angel says here. This child, this Savior, will save you from your sin and give you peace with God. Have you heard that before? That's a thing that needs to register with you. The good news about a baby is big time stuff here. The world thinks it's celebrating it this Christmas season. Maybe they are, maybe they aren't. The angels are letting it get known. Lord Christ, Savior, he's here. He's here right now. He's here with us right now. Emmanuel. And if you know that already, if that has sunk in and registered with you, then the last two points are obvious. I'm practically telling you something that you already know. And even if I didn't, you might do because it's natural. It's supernatural to relay the good news. This is point two. First, you register and then you relay the good news. You pass it along. Look with me at verses 15 through 18. I think you'll see that these verses pretty much speak for themselves. The angels left them. They'd gone away into heaven. The shepherd said to one, let's go. Verse 15, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherd said to one another, let's go. So this is it's the word used. It's very urgent. They're going to. Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Remember, they're the scoundrels. Verse 16. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. Verse 18, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Remember, shepherds, can you trust the shepherds? They're telling us that, okay, so they saw some angels, And they said, go see a baby who's Christ the Lord. They wondered. You see what's going on? The shepherds, in their haste, they become the first evangelists, if you will, of this early era. The night of his birth, they take the message of the good news of the Christ child, and they go see him, and what do? They spread the word. They relay the news. They passed on the news of the extra extra. Now, so a modern mind might look at this and say, now, wait a minute. What did they think they were doing? Didn't they know that they needed to go to at least 3 seminars on evangelism? Get some training? How could they even know what they were talking about? How could they relay the message at all? Don't they have a 3 or 4-step plan? Some strategy? Some technique? How could they relay the message? That's a valid question. Did they have flyers? Did they have posters? Did they have a band in the background? Did they have an altar call? What were they thinking? Now try this. Who's to say they didn't have training? Look at it again. What did they need to go tell it on the mountain, over the hill, and everywhere? What did they need to get moving and to go? Let's go to Bethlehem. Okay, they heard the message of the Christ who is Savior and Lord. Okay, that's needful. And they met him personally. And there you go. They're off. They're off very enthusiastically, in fact. And to boot, verse 18, all who heard it wondered. They're amazed, right? So even the hearers are somewhat, they're enthusiastic. There's something going, they hear the news about the Christ. And by the way, this is still how the Lord is pleased to advance the message. It looks pretty simple, and it kind of is, because the Holy Spirit does the work. You got some good news? God's favor? The Lord with us? Yep, I got that. His peace? This is how he's going to grow his kingdom? By way of a proclamation? The name of the Christ? Told by people? Even shepherds? Telling the truth about a child who's born, a child who obeyed the law, a child who went to a cross after fulfilling all righteousness. Oh, and then coming out of the grave. Oh, and then ascending to heaven. That's the story. You know that story, and very enthusiastically, I trust that you wish to relay that good news yourself as you let it register in you as well. You repeat the sounding joy of the gospel. And as you do these two, here is a third and final point. You will also relish the good news. What do you mean by that? So you register it, you relay it, and as we see here, there is a time to relish this good news. If you look with me at verses 19 and 20, you will find lots of relishing, this is delighting in something, savoring it, enjoying it, enjoying what's going on here. Listen again, verse 19. But Mary, and by the way, there's a contrast there. You got this overt enthusiasm of the shepherds. They're all running around and the angels were there. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. In other words, she meditated on these things. Looking at the meaning of the mulling over, she reflected. She pondered, she relished, and you could, I mean, if you know about her song, the Song of Mary, the Magnificat, she's getting all theological too. She's taking on the promises of God, and she's mulling those over in the setting of the baby that was told to her, that she's now holding She's relishing this moment. The shepherds have come. She's making connections, silently rejoicing, relishing good news from God. You can relish and you can proclaim in loud rejoicing this good news. Verse 20 expresses the zest this way. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God. And you say, for what? What's the grounds for their praising and their acceptance? Verse 20. For all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Do you relish the good news? Like today. Is it a mood thing? Sometimes you enjoy it. Maybe even when the table is set before you or you see the water of baptism, is it something that you take in and delight and find feeds you, feeds your joy and your faith? Here's the Lord. He comes to this world. He comes born to save sinners like you and me, like we. We get to see a baby not only wrapped in swaddling cloths, verse 12, also on this banner over here. I'll probably point at that later in the season. Babies wrapped in swaddling cloths. This is also the same Savior, Lord, and Christ who we find in burial cloths lying in a tomb. You fast forward from this scene to that and into glory itself, and the story connects. From cradle to grave, as we sometimes say, from manger to cross, from heaven to earth, to live for you, to obey for you, to die for you, to rise for you, to reign for you as King, the King that we've sung to already today. This is an extra extra. And this is the one who brings victory and peace. This is the one who ends war. I wasn't alive during Second World War. Again, some of you were. But if I had been there and I heard practically out of nowhere some 12-year-old kid with the hat doing the proverbial extra, extra, read all about it. What's the news, kid? The war's over. Peace, victory, exclamation mark. Read all about it. I would have read all about that. I would have found my nickel to get the details and read all about it. That's the kind of news that is an extra, extra event. And if that event was worthy of such a headline that I showed you earlier, worthy of loud heralding, well, then how about this one here that we read about from Luke, the evangelist? This whole army of the heavenly host, God's messengers, showing up to announce peace. An army announcing peace. Peace on earth. Here's the good news again. You've heard it. You know it. There's peace on earth because of Jesus. The victory's yours because he came to you as Lord, Savior, Christ. He gives you peace. And the peace is lasting because it's with God. And that's good news. Pray together. Father, this morning in your word, we have heard your good news heralded again, and that's why we praise you. Lord, in an added response of grateful praise, we would ask that you would give us all that we need by your Spirit, by your grace, to register these truths even more deeply and to relay them faithfully, and yes, Lord, to relish this good news of great joy, even this very day. We ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. By now you should find yourself ready, if not excited, to stand and sing all the stanzas of number 311. Hark, the herald angels sing. 311. 311.